You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome back to the Screen Heroes Podcast, your TV and film podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network. I am your regular host, Derek, and I have with me my two other lovely, regular, longtime hosts, Ryan, who is drinking.
Hi. Hey, Ray. I handled it like a pro. What are you talking about?
And Ray.
Hello.
Hello.
I promise not to make gestures this time.
I wouldn't promise that. That doesn't seem like a fair promise.
I know. Yeah. Italian, it happens.
Last week, Ray waved. This week, Ryan's taken a drink when his name has been first for 238 episodes. But it's fine. I'm sure it's my fault somehow.
It is.
Yeah.
I think we're all on the same page with that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. This week, we're talking WandaVision Episode 5. On a very special episode. That's actually the title of it. And before that, we're going to kick off some news, some entertainment news. Ray, what do you got?
Oh my God. So I'm very, very, very angry that CW is going through with the Powerpuff Girls live action remake. From their news release, it's going to be about three disillusioned 20-somethings who resent their crime-fighting childhoods. And I swear that's like the absolute opposite of what Powerpuff Girls was. And like, I was a big fan when I was an early teenager when it came out. I thought it was really cool that these were children who wanted to fight crime, who had a doting father who adored them and disciplined them in kind ways. And you know, it was all full of lessons, but never really, you know, educational, kind of hammered that on the head kind of thing.
So instead they're turning into Umbrella Academy
or Riverdale or Sabrina. Like it's following everything else. And you know, it's just the exact opposite. They all had their own personalities and days when they were sad, but none of them were ever upset that they were crime fighting. Their dad didn't make them do it. He made them go to kindergarten and that was it. And, you know, I actually think this would be a really fun live action show if it was aimed at children and not at the audience that grew up with them. I don't think that Powerpuff Girls should try to, you know, target me. I think it should try and target my daughter. It could be really fun if they got actual 5-6-year-olds to play superheroes on Cartoon Network, have HBO finance. It would be really cute. But no,
you should have Zack Snyder take over the property and do an HBO Max 4-hour Powerpuff Girls movie.
All right. So I know that's a big joke, but the Guardians Owls of Ga'Hoole, Zack Snyder did direct, and it's a really great children's movie. So I actually think
he
could do a great job.
As long as he doesn't write it.
So the real question is, do the Powerpuff Girls cross over with the Arrowverse in season 2, or like how's that gonna shake down?
That would be so much better. Oh my God. I think the Flash would be like, no, this is a responsibility and you all need to be like happy and nice and stuff, and they'll be like, we're sorry, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, because Barry is such an upbeat character these days.
Yeah,
he's gone dark too. So
well, yeah, someone had to take over for Ollie.
Right. They need a certain amount of brooding.
For it to be a CW show. Yeah. It's part of the contract.
CW needs happiness.
I think it's a DC thing, not CW. Brooding seems to be across the board for DC.
I mean, yes, I'm not disagreeing with that, but I also think it's kind of across the board for the CW.
I just think that the CW just needs to smile more. It'll be a lot prettier if it smiles.
Wow. How very networkist of you.
Oh yeah. Man, All right. Moving on from the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah. So, release of still, I guess, of Jared Leto from Zack Snyder's Justice League came out today. Or was it yesterday?
It was today.
Okay. He looks a bit different than what he did for Suicide Squad. Just some tweaks here and there. There are still a few tattoos, but nothing as intense as what it was. What do you guys think of it?
It's fine. You know, I know it's going to be a very small role. I know that this was something Snyder really wanted to tack in there because the two versions, the Joker and Batman and his reality, never really got to meet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad that they've toned his tattoos down because that never made sense to me from a character perspective, but I don't really have strong feelings either way.
I don't think any of us are really like huge Joker fans in general. So, you know, I have a feeling all of us are just kind of like, either meh at best or we hate it, one of the two. But I mean, it was fine. It's better than Suicide Squad, but it's still not like, I don't know, it's nothing ridiculous. It just looks like a guy with long hair and clown makeup. It looks like it's like The Crow meets meets Joker is what it looked like to me.
I think personally I'd be more excited if I felt like that whole Legion of Doom concept was like still coming, you know, where they had you know, Deathstroke show up on Lex's boat and all that, and like if this Joker was going to be part of it, like then I'd be a little more geared that they're moving the character to a more traditional direction. But I mean, that's not, none of that's happening, and we'll be lucky if we ever get to see Deathstroke in that incarnation again. So,
and that is too bad because like they inexplicably left Cheetah alive, so far you have four villains left alive that could do a lot of damage if they joined up together, and it would be a lot of fun. I would totally watch a Legion of Doom movie or an Injustice League, whatever they wanted to call it. It would be really cool with the right director, and Denzel Washington, you could cast him so he could just hire him to be on set so he could slap Jared Leto every once in a while.
Is that a thing?
Oh, okay. So they recently starred in a movie together, and Jared Leto was pulling his weird method crap, and Denzel Washington like put him in his place. He was like, no, you don't do that with me. And it was kind of funny.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, so what's next?
While we're talking about the Snyder Cut, we might as well talk about the weird rumors of yet another slightly different version of the movie. So
it's black and white.
Yeah, I don't think we need to waste a lot of time on that. It's not that interesting.
I have some things to say about it, but, you know, forget it. Let's move on.
No, say it. Say your piece. Ryan and I aren't going to say anything, but you go ahead. That's it.
Yeah, you go off on a rant about your black and white stuff.
It's not a rant. So this week, Snyder released a video on Vero, you know, the social network of Snyder, and it was a black and white version of a scene that he was working on. And this seems to support evidence of a black and white cut, which may be called the gray cut or Justice League gray or Justice is gray. There's a couple of different terms floating around. But what's interesting about it is back in November when he was doing an interview, he talked about his ideal way of the movie being seen was in black and white IMAX. And I thought that was very interesting. So I'll be curious to see if maybe it'll be an exclusive IMAX release of the film to help maybe open some theaters or something like that here in the States with the pandemic and everything. So that's why I think it's interesting, because he talked about this back in November, and it could be used as a stunts, a little negative of a term, but to help, you know, launch some theater business.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense if they're going to use it like that.
That is all. Moving on. You want to talk about Marvel stuff? We've got some Marvel stuff to talk about.
So Tom Holland has been talking a bit about Spider-Man 3. He said it was the most ambitious superhero standalone film, is it really standalone though if you have 800 like co-stars?
It's standalone in the same sense that that Civil War was Captain America, right?
Which it wasn't. It was like Avengers 2.5.
Basically, yeah. I mean, and if it's more ambitious than that, then that I worry about it being a little too unfocused. But I guess it's hard to judge a movie before we've seen it. You know, we said a lot of things about Civil War the same way, and you know, it wasn't great, but it could have certainly been much worse.
Yeah, I like, for all the issues I have with Civil War, none of them have to do with the ensemble. I actually think Marvel has got the giant ensemble cast down, and for everything I've said about Whedon, one of his strong points is balancing a giant ensemble cast. So I think he laid some really good groundwork with Avengers and Age of Ultron, and the Russos have built off of that with their help from James Gunn. So I'm not really worried about a Marvel film and the ensemble. I just think it's a silly thing to call it a standalone.
Yeah, you're kind of splitting hairs with all the terminology they use for these things, but it is a little, I mean, this one they've been bragging about how big it's going to be. So yeah, standalone is definitely not the right word for this movie.
Well, and it's not, I don't feel like we're splitting hairs when the actors are using the term.
That's true. Yeah,
right.
That's true.
Like, we're not calling it that. That's what Spider-Man is telling us it is, but it's clearly much more than that. And that's not a bad thing. Like, I don't mean it in a negative way to say that it's not standalone. That shouldn't be a bad thing.
Right.
At this point, it just means it's going to be connected to the wider Marvel universe in some capacity with some crossover characters. It's like, you know, Thor, Love and Thunder. It's not standalone either. The Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be in it to some capacity, right? And that's okay, but the movies are going to be grander scale on a regular basis now because they're not pulling a Thor the Dark World anymore,
right?
Yeah, I'm good with that. He also said that at this point there's no intention of bringing Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield back.
Ooh.
Now of course this could just be to throw us off, but Tom Holland does have a terrible habit of spoiling everything. So I tend to believe him when he says something.
Unless the studio is lying to him.
But you would have some scenes with them. Come on. Like, unless it's
just kidding.
He also straight up be lying just because he doesn't want it to spoil the movie, and he's cognizant of it at this point.
And he's older now. You know, think of all the movies that he's had to go through at this point, right? Two Spider-Man movies, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame. Like,
Mark Ruffalo still hasn't learned.
Yeah, but he hasn't had his own standalone movie yet.
He actually streamed.
No, he literally spoiled Infinity War and said everyone dies in it.
Yeah. But
that's not true.
He streamed the first 2 minutes of Thor Ragnarok from his pocket because he didn't realize his phone was still on.
Like, that's an accident. That's a little different, but
come on, man. Like,
I love that it's
a big joke, and Catherine Hahn, who is in WandaVision, is like, no, I'm not telling you anything about the show. I can't pull a Ruffalo.
It's pretty funny. So speaking of WandaVision,
mm-hmm.
There's already talk now of the so-called Jimmy Woo spinoff,
which I'm hoping is actually Agents of Atlas.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Right? Because he leads that team. It's got some really awesome people on it that I would love to see in the mix. And it basically, WandaVision is confirming to me that we are absolutely done with all the origin stories and the bread and butter comic book stuff that we're used to, and we're finally gonna get the weird shit. And I'm so happy we're gonna get the weird shit.
Well, I mean, we are, because it's not even just WandaVision. Doctor Strange 2 is supposed to be just even crazier. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man is supposed to be pretty weird too. And like, look at how well Into the Spider-Verse was received. It doesn't get much weirder than that. And that might be the best animated movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, so I love that. I'm really excited to be seeing things that a few years ago I would have laughed at the prospect of Marvel actually taking it on.
I have to take a second to do my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pitch, because this is it bugs the shit out of me. Everybody wants this Jimmy Woo spinoff. It's like, we all wanted a Coulson spinoff, and we got that, and then it got fucked over because of Winter Soldier, because they made a whole show about S.H.I.E.L.D., and then all of a sudden Winter Soldier comes out, and S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't a thing anymore. So they had to scramble, and that show had a lot of weird shit. Time travel, Flashpoint basically happening, Ghost Rider, going to the future where the planet's been exploded and then having to figure out what happened and coming back and fixing it. Outer space aliens that infected the body with like a pterodactyl that climbs in people's mouths. There was some weird shit in that show already, and it was great. So if you didn't watch it, it's fine. I'm not mad at you.
Disappointed.
Please just watch this show and support it if it's what you really want, because otherwise they're going to stop making shows that are good and that people want, because they say they want them and then they don't support them. So
I absolutely agree. I think Twitter needs to calm their shit. When a fun character appears in the background of a show, they cannot just say, oh my god, I'd watch a whole series of that person. Like, would you really, based on one conversation that they had with somebody else on screen? Or are you just saying that because you liked the character? Personally, well, I don't think a Jimmy Woo show by himself could last. I think it would be better if they're just going to focus on Jimmy Woo as a 45-minute thing. I think Agents of Atlas could last because it also involves Shang-Chi and Silk and Ms. Marvel. So it could be the connection to Atlantis, because there's also Namora on the team. So I think that has a much better chance than just following another suit, no matter how weird it gets.
Couldn't have run the show by himself either for 7 seasons. I mean, they had to put him in an ensemble.
Absolutely.
And they eventually figured that out. I mean, the ensemble was there from the beginning, but it definitely grew and got better as the series went on. But I definitely think he'd be better as like a supporting character, or like part of a bigger ensemble, like they did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if they're gonna do it.
And, well, and he can take on
the girl's name. She's great. Put her in there. I'm fine with that. I find her character pretty entertaining.
Because of the way Agents of Atlas kind of works, he can take on a Nick Fury-esque role where he's kind of the point of contact for people, you know, and bring this other team together. And it's not, you know, and they could even do it with having content kind of like, you know, we ended up with the Defenders when we had the Netflix shows. This could be a similar kind of concept. But I also think, like, now when somebody's wanting a show, I don't think most people, and I could be wrong, are wanting 25, 26 episode, hour long episode seasons.
Oh, right? I know I don't. Honestly, like, I look for new shows, and when I see a 20 something season order, I'm like, well, I guess I'm not watching that.
So I think, like, in this case, you know, when I say I want to see a show with him and Darcy or something like that, I don't really mean that I want to see 200 hours of it. I really want to see, you know, what we're getting with this, right? Like 6 hours, 8 hours, something like that, of a cool story that, you know, fleshes out that corner of the universe.
Fair enough.
You know, and besides, like, the stumbling blocks that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went through, Marvel's not going to do those now. They might make different mistakes, but they're not going to make those same.
That was early on in the whole process. So, yeah, they have learned their lesson, I would hope, because that left a lot of people scrambling. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, I'm still convinced that that's really where the divide between, like, is this an actual MCU property or is it not, happened, because they realize that when they're attached to this, then they're at the mercy of whatever happens in the movies. Because no matter what, the stuff that happens in the movies, people are going to watch the movies more than they're going to watch TV shows. So that's always going to be the bigger priority. So.
And that's my issue. I feel like the larger picture the movies, they never acknowledged Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Netflix MCU or Cloak and Dagger, because they were runaways, I guess, because they were like, well, this stuff can exist in the same world on the same planet, but, you know, we're not really focused on that. It doesn't, it's like a teacher who assigns homework but doesn't collect it ever or something like that. It's there's no incentive to watch it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's good and bad to that, right? Like I said before, WandaVision came out, I was a little nervous, like, that all of these shows, including, you know, Falcon and Loki and all of that, are going to be like required viewing for the, some of the movie stuff. And that's going to be hard for people who only watch the movies.
Yeah.
Right. Now, of course, the buy-in is a lot less than older style television shows like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where you've got 25 hours of content a season. But still, I'll be curious to see what that overlap looks like. How many people really watch WandaVision versus see, you know, Doctor Strange 2? Because obviously that's going to be a larger audience.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all I have for news. Anything else you guys want to cover?
No.
Falcon Winter Soldier trailer came out.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cool.
My bad.
So if you haven't checked it out, you should definitely check it out. It looks to be more like traditional Marvel fanfare if that's more what you're interested in. And if you freeze one frame, there's a wall of scroll heads in the background.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yes. It's in like the there's like a club scene. And on the wall behind somebody, it looks like a wall of scroll heads. So obviously the larger universe knows about scrolls. And they've caught some. So it's definitely leading into Secret Invasion.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I've definitely read quite a bit about how this is going to be, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to be a much more by the book Marvel product, right? It's going to be much more like Captain America, the Winter Soldier, much more like Civil War, what we're already used to, or WandaVision and Loki, for that matter, are going to be kind of a new route.
Right. They'll be a little less weird.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine Falcon Soldier will be pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now we can have our break.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take our break then. And when we get back, we will be talking WandaVision episode 5. So this is your spoiler warning for the first 5 episodes of WandaVision and anything that could be tied into it, like, you know, other movies. Anyway, We'll be right back. All right, we are back, everybody. We are talking WandaVision episode 5 on a very special episode. That's the title of it. And, you know, I was looking at IMDb, and I think it's kind of funny. Each episode is rated higher than the one before it, with this one at a 9.3, which is, I mean, obviously a very high score for a property. But there you have it. Spoiler warnings. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. If you haven't watched the episode yet, there's a lot that we're going to cover and ruin for you if that is something you care about. So here we go.
All right. This episode is jam-packed with all kinds of stuff. I say we hit the big stuff first and then pick out the Easter eggs later. So this is really the debut of Tommy and Billy and Wanda and Vision as parents.
So they grew up to be Power Rangers. Is that how I understand it? Okay.
Yeah. The white and the blue respectively.
Mm-hmm. Just checking. Yeah.
Yeah. Good call.
I thought the aging up thing was really interesting that they do throughout the episode. Cause, you know, like clearly they were going to have powers. Right. And I don't really know much about them in the comics, so I didn't know what kind of powers they would have. I assumed they would be similar to their parents. But aging up is a very specific power that's
not their power. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm.
They're not aging themselves up.
I mean, kind of, but it's like it's an effect of the universe. I'm pretty sure it's not like they're in control of it. I don't think. I mean, they're actual. I know there's a line where she's like, don't age yourselves up, but that's not their powers.
Well, okay, so I'm a little confusing because, I mean, when they do it with the dog scene, like, that seemed very intentional by the two of them.
I mean, from what I understand, their powers in the comics are one of them is fast, and the other one is like another Scarlet Witch, essentially. But Rachel would know more about that than I would.
Yes. So in the comics, they only exist because of her magic, and when she is not thinking about them, they don't exist. So once somebody tells her that they're not real, they are considered deceased. Well, they get reincarnated by Agatha Harkness as Wiccan and Speed, whose powers pretty much mimic Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. And that is your in the comics. I agree with Derek in that it seemed that the kids have much more control and power than they do in the comics at this age, but it also is very representative of sitcom tropes where they're a baby one day and they're like a full-grown toddler 2-3 episodes later.
Yeah, I think it's something that was like granted they have this ability because of Wanda in this particular environment. And that's not their, like, they don't have that power. I mean, who would want the power of just being able to age themselves up and nothing else? Well,
I'm not saying
they're going to turn yourself into an old man eventually and die.
I'm not saying they don't have any other powers. I'm just saying that it certainly seems like that was a conscious choice by the boys to become 10 years old and that they were going to do it again if she hadn't talked them out of it.
I would absolutely think that this is just a hint at how powerful they are and that we're going to see more from them and that they might even be more powerful than Wanda, especially since so far they're the only things that she cannot control, that she is like actively tried to, is she tries to put them to sleep.
Other than the what?
The stork.
Oh, the stork.
In all fairness, she was having contractions. That's not really.
If anything, her magic was more powerful during the contractions.
But not as in control. That's the difference, you know. So, okay. So they age themselves up a bit. We've got the dog.
Sparky.
Sparky, who dies. And so that's sad. You just give us a dog and kill a dog. Seems mean.
Yeah, but yeah. There's more to that. I mean,
if that bothers you, definitely, like, you should always check the website. Does the dog die? The answer is yes.
I still don't want spoilers. Just don't kill dogs. I don't know why that's so hard.
Okay, so again, this is a comic reference. Vision creates his own synthezoid family in one point. It's actually more recent than Wanda creating her kids. And the dog is named Sparky, and he also dies from eating, you know, poisonous.
In Agatha Harkness's yard.
Yep.
Sad. So, okay, so let's talk about Agnes for a minute, because she clearly, like, is totally cool with everything that's going on, but she also knows more than other characters, right? So, like, where we can say that, like, Norm, for example, would go along with the kids aging up because he's completely being controlled by Wanda, right? But Agnes knows that it's a broadcast, in a sense. She knows it's a show.
Yeah, she asks Agnes for another take. The first person to acknowledge that this is a TV show, that something about it is scripted.
Right. And like that scene is so uncomfortable and awkward. And so just, you know, really well done to everybody involved in that scene. But man, that is an uncomfortable scene.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, Vision already, he knows something's going on and all this stuff is just leading him to, you know, have a breakdown of some kind.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like, there's nothing about Agnes in this episode that isn't uncomfortable. Her weird perfume spray of lavender on the babies, acknowledging that you can't control the kids, coming over with the doghouse and suggesting the name after the dog. Why isn't anyone concerned the dog electrocuted itself?
Well, the dog is trying, if you go by what the show is saying, that the dog is trying to kill himself. I'm guessing that like he somehow got awakened, like Vision did to the other guy, and realized that he's like not in control of what's happening and doesn't know what's going on, and so he was like actively trying to kill himself, licking the socket, going and eating this plant that'll kill him. Yeah. Like
running away during a drone attack.
Makes it much darker.
But I kind of just assumed that Wanda wasn't trying to control the dog like the people, because what's the dog gonna do?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair too. What's the dog gonna do? The thing is, it seems that either she has a split personality or dormant side to her, or something else controlling her, where, you know, she picks and chooses what matters in this world, and her mind gets distracted with stuff. So why control the dog?
That was all. That was all my thought was on that. So here's what.
I don't like the dog suicide theory, but I can't either. Appreciate it. Like yeah. It makes sense for the world.
It does. But I'm curious
how much pain that guy appeared to be in when Vision woke him up. I mean,
and how scared he was.
Yeah, and how scared he was. Imagine if you were a dog, you were sentient, but not like able to have like major thinking like a human can have. And right. You're just confused about what's going on and, you know,
terrified and in pain the entire yeah. time. Yeah.
I don't like that theory either, but there's some dark yeah. shit going on in this show. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that scene with Norm, so we watched the episode twice, and I am just blown away by that acting every time. Going from in a trance to awoken and frightened and in pain, and then back to an email joke right away was so well done. Like, it's a span of 2 minutes, and it's some of the best acting by side characters in all of the MCU.
It was very good. Yeah, he was definitely convincing.
Mm-hmm. So I would, before we get away from Agnes, though, and move on, I just wanted your perspective on this. So not only does she know it's scripted, she understands that this is a false reality, but she also knows like what Wanda wants to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is another, that's a whole separate piece of knowledge. So do you think that's because she's really manipulating Wanda, or do you think Wanda is communicating with her in some way as an ally?
I truly believe that Wanda is being manipulated by something. I'm not going to commit to say it's Agnes just yet by herself, because there are other forces that are capable of doing similar things. But I am like, Agnes definitely has a hand in all this, because who else knows the script? She has been pushing Wanda this entire time to do certain things, befriend certain people like Dottie and four kids and things like that. So she's had a huge influence, and she's not at all thrown back by the kids aging in front of her, by the kids saying, you know, you can bring people back, bring Sparky back. You know, she's just like, wait, you know how to do that? As like, cool, I'm going to remember this for episode 6.
So I have thoughts on that specifically, but cool. She's obviously a part of it, like Rachel said. I still think that her husband, Ralph, is either Mephisto, or he's the missing person that Jimmy Woo went after. But I think that Mephisto is the guy that's like manifesting everything, and that Agnes, Agatha Harkness, whatever, is in there like trying to help push it in the direction that he wants it to go. But right. she's still kind of at the mercy of everything. Now, about the like, she's not phased about the dog thing coming back to life thing. She is phased by that. I mean, when so she looks like she's trying to bury the dog, first of all, when they get over there. It's not like, oh, I just found the dog. She's like panicked when they walk up. And then when she's talking to the kids about not bringing anybody to life, not being able to bring people back to life, Agnes is like, you can do that? So I think that she, Agnes, actually killed the dog and is worried that if Wanda brought the dog back to life, that it would be obvious that Agnes killed the dog, either like did something physically to the dog that would be noticeable when the dog came back to life.
Interesting.
Because it could be what you said, that she's like storing that away for future use or manipulation or whatever. But I think that the dog thing, I still think there's something darker going on with that, that the dog didn't just eat this leaf and die.
Well, and I think that idea that that power exists for Wanda really caught Agnes off guard, because her entire voice is different in that line when she says it. It's almost like she's out of character saying it, kind of like when things broke down at the beginning of the episode, her voice mm-hmm. was a little different when it was outside of the script.
Yeah.
Right. And I think like that's just, I mean, first off, that's just really great acting and a really great like creative note. But I think, yeah, it's clear that that was something she wasn't aware of, which then starts to beg the question of what really happened with Vision, or does Vision not count because he wasn't fully human?
Yeah, we should probably talk about that too. So you get to see in this episode that, well, first of all, Paul Bettany a while back teased that there was supposed to be a, after Endgame, there was supposed to be a scene that had him, or that had Vision's body being recovered by Wanda in a shield or sword compound, something along those lines, and that they had to cut it because it didn't really fit the tone of the movie and the way they wanted it to end. So they're obviously utilizing a lot of that footage for this and that idea for mm-hmm. this. But you see him like spread out in pieces all over this lab, and she goes in and fucks shit up and brings him out and apparently starts this thing. And that pretty much confirms that it's like corpse Vision, right? I mean, like,
well, no, I don't think it confirms that, unless she like, because in order to bring something back, we don't know
if it's puppet Vision or like if he's still technically dead and she's puppeting him, or if she resurrected him,
right? Because she may need the actual body in some capacity to do it, or at least thinks that she needs it, right, to bring him back. Like with the dog, maybe she thinks she would need physically the dog's body. I don't, you know what I mean? So I still think Vision's alive. I think it's a bit of a stretch still to think that he's,
I hope like, he's not a like puppeted corpse. That's freaking nasty, man.
It is, especially with her kissing him and stuff. And
having sex with him.
Yeah. Like he just gets weirder and weirder. And I don't know. I think that there, I think there's still like a Marvel line, and I think that goes a little, maybe a little too far.
Yeah.
The dark implications of the show definitely doesn't seem like it's Disney friendly.
No, that's...
I don't think kids would pick up on a lot of the really dark stuff if they watched it, to be fair. So
yeah,
not without a lot of questions, that's for sure. They would have, yeah. So that scene's also straight out of the comics when Vision first dies.
House of M, right? Isn't that
No, when Vision dies in like the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know I saw a panel of it for it, but I couldn't remember what it was from. But it definitely looked almost, I think we're going to get another shot that looks even closer to that, honestly, from like her perspective, not like the security cam, to kind of give more info.
So let's talk a bit about what director Hayward said. He, so Vision had a living will that said that he wanted to be dismembered so he would never be anybody's weapon. And that Wanda, by taking the body, breaks not just the Sokovia Accords, but also Vision's own wants and needs. And I know they address this in the beginning, that director Hayward's a dick.
He's the villain, or a villain in the show, for sure. It's pretty much confirmed antagonist at this point. Yes.
Yeah. Do you guys hold any credence to the feel that like he's Mephisto?
It doesn't work like that. That feels like the kind of twist that you write in at the end to be like, ah, we gotcha. But there's like no real basis for in the material.
You know, but then also you're getting another Hydra in S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where it's like, okay, cool. Then another Mephisto government organization infiltrated by a outside force that's controlling it. Yeah,
that would be really lame. And like, I don't believe that, but I'll tell you, like, at this particular point, like, I dislike him the most of anybody else. Yeah, he's a huge dick. And I don't believe for a second that Sword was just following through with Vision's will. I think that's a load of crap.
I think it absolutely is a huge guilt trip. Well, 100%.
They bring it up in like episode 2 or whenever, or was maybe it was 4. I don't know. When Monica's first getting in, it must have been 4. When Monica's first going into the lab and he's talking about like creating sentient weapons, and she's talking about observation, which is the next word. I'm pretty sure that they were dissecting Vision to turn him in, or to use his technology, or turn him into a sentient weapon.
One way or the other, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty clearly what's going on with them. And he's definitely, even if he's not like a major villain of this series, he is definitely like a piece of shit that is doing things dirty, for sure.
He's not a super villain, but he's a bad guy.
Right, for sure. So
this may be something just completely stupid, in my opinion, but it is my preference. I want somebody with a magnanimous, dark presence on screen to play Mephisto.
What if it's the guy from the Ghost Rider movie?
Yeah. Well, no, he passed away.
Oh, yeah.
But, but yeah, like, he set a great standard for how I think Mephisto should be. Peter Stormare from Constantine.
Oh yeah,
he was a great Lucifer. Too. Like, if you're gonna cast the devil, I need them to be imposing. I can't just have them be straight man, white guy that is interchangeable. You know, there are so many of those actors. That's anyone behind him could probably play that role just as well as he does. So
yeah, well, we haven't seen Ralph yet, and I'm still on the Ralph camp, so that he's Mephisto, whoever that ends up being.
I like the idea that Ralph is Mephisto.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
I still think that there's somewhere we're going to have to figure out who the missing person was.
Mm-hmm.
It was the missing person Wanda? Like, I don't know. It could have been a throwaway line, but that seems like a big thing since that's what the whole series is based on. Jimmy Woo going to go find this missing person, and then Monica Rambeau going to help and fly drones because nobody else can do that.
But at this point, Jimmy's really the only one who cares about that, right? Like, it's moved on from that. I think Sword just used that opportunity to take control of the situation.
Also, why is the FBI still there if Sword is a thing? Like, you know,
like, you mean in this, like, as an organization or physically at Westville?
No, why is Wu still there? Because he's an FBI agent, not a Sword agent, and he's like the only one that we see. So
I assume because the case is still open.
Okay, but I mean, I would think Sword as a like international, like Avengers level organization would override a FBI agent.
Well, yeah. To be fair, we don't know the jurisdiction between Sword and a country's organizations within its own government on its own soil, like its sovereignty, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the FBI theoretically would have jurisdiction on their own soil. So maybe they're not allowed to kick him off, or they just don't care because he's not really doing anything.
That's true. He's just kind of doing stuff in the background, trying to figure things out.
Well, he's there to like help carry on the conversation, but he's clearly like, he's not the expert here.
No, he's the good guy. One of like very few good guys there.
Right.
So yeah,
there's three good guys. Right. And two of them know stuff that is useful. And then he's trying to like kind of continue the conversation along.
Yeah. Also, this episode just reinforced how great Monica Rambeau is.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt.
She is so charismatic and like, yeah, I would watch a show with just her.
Tiana,
she's great.
I do not know how to say her name. I will look it up before next one, but she is an absolute fantastic addition. She said the word photon in this episode.
And she's just such a likable character. Mm-hmm. Like, you just kind of root for her. And she pulled the Peggy Carter in this episode. Mm-hmm. And you guys know that I like Agent Carter. So you having do. That kind of homage to that character was really cool.
I think the three of them bounce off each other well too. So I would also like, I think that they've got really solid chemistry. And so a continuation of their relationship investigating things, I think would be a positive part of the universe. But like this, their part of the episode also helps reinforce to the audience what abilities Wanda really has. Because one of the key pieces we see is Monica's clothing that she was wearing when she was expelled from Westview. And the clothing didn't revert back. Because until now, everyone has believed that this is just an illusion. Mm-hmm. And I guess in some definition of the term, you could still call it that. But she is straight up manipulating matter and changing reality permanently. Because those clothes were her original sword, Kevlar-based clothing that's now like 70s casual wear, right? But it's still bulletproof, and that's huge, because that's something that hadn't really been confirmed yet.
Well, it had been confirmed that stuff doesn't change when it leaves the bubble. In episode 3, when she gets pushed out and the clothes are still on her, you see the clothes still on her when she comes out.
Well,
and it hasn't changed.
The audience gets to see that, but the characters don't. Like, we don't.
That's
like,
true.
Right? So, like, this is the show acknowledging that for the first time. That like, also, actually matters, and it's not that, like, she was just wearing clothes.
She definitely has powers now, because when they did that, when they did that scan, and it's, like, all light. It's like, okay, she's...
Oh, yeah. That brain scan looks very similar to her 1980s outfit.
So, yeah, what do you think gives her the powers?
I mean, it's either like the entering and leaving of the thing, or the interaction with Wanda's chaos magic, something in there. I mean, there's some sort of chain reaction somewhere. Whatever causes mutants, if the theories are correct, and this is where mutants come from, the Marvel universe, it's got to be something with Wanda, you know, her chaos magic, or like whatever this bubble is, which is probably part of her chaos magic. I mean, I don't...
Well, Monica's not a mutant.
Is she not?
Not in this. Not
well,
yet.
I'm saying they haven't confirmed that yet, but in the comics, right?
Was she a mutant in the comics?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So why didn't Fox own her?
Because they didn't use her first.
Weird. Okay. Never mind.
So I feel like this is... whatever causes mutants to come into the MCU is probably whatever caused this. And, you know, it's just going to be a broader scale.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was something when the snaps happened, that she's had the powers the whole time, because they didn't do any scans that they showed her anything before she went back to work and did all that stuff. So it could have just been one of the snaps, and it's not actually Wanda at all that causes mutants or mutations or whatever.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
How do you guys feel, or what do you speculate that the kind of shade she's throwing Carol Danvers' way?
She does seem really pissed about it. And like, if she was still a kid, I'd buy into that. Cause like, you know, this like adult parental figure that you looked up to just kind of vanishes. But
is that what she's mad about?
Is that not what she's mad about?
I don't think so.
No, there's no confirmation of what she is or isn't mad about.
I assumed it was her absence. Her just basically disappearing for decades.
I mean, it could be. It also could be like, I got kind of a Watchmen vibe. Like, you know how they were blaming Dr. Manhattan for giving people cancer, and then her mom died of cancer while she was in the snap verse, whatever happened there. I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch, but.
Well, no, because her mom had cancer before the snap. That's why she was in a hospital.
Right. I'm not saying the snap gave her cancer. Right. Okay, I'm saying that, you know, she died from cancer while she was
that's
in the snap verse.
That's interesting.
So maybe that she associates, since Captain Marvel was like in and out of space, and maybe gave her mom the ability to go into space somehow, or so I don't know.
I mean, maybe, but like Sword, which like she, you know, we're told kind of her mother built the place and she grew up in Sword, kind of only exists really because of Captain Marvel,
right? And maybe Sword is what she got the cancer from traveling to space like in the early days or whatever.
But then why be a part of that organization?
Well, they didn't know, obviously. I mean,
why meant her, like, why
better
would, why would she?
Well, she probably blames Captain Marvel for, I don't know. It's a theory. We don't have any idea. We could go back and forth about this all night, but that was just the idea I had, something along those lines. Cause they made a point to talk about the cancer You know, it was they don't usually throw in that kind of thing as such a big deal if it's not going to be important later. So I assumed it had something related to that.
I figured it was one of two things, just like her total absence from her life, like never coming back, or being completely unaware and not around for her mom specifically when she did have cancer. And, you know, she just.
Yeah, not there being there for her mom. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's either not being there for her or not being there for her mom. Like, that's what I figured. But
fair enough.
I assume that's something we'll get into, maybe not even this series, but like.
Oh, they'll have to. I'd be disappointed if they didn't touch back on that. They have to touch back on that.
There's I agree. I just think like it. Any personal relationship issues can take, you know, multiple projects to deal with. So,
I mean, that would make more sense for them to just like drop the thing now. And then, you know, I'd just be disappointed because you can't just give me a little breadcrumb like that and expect me to not want to eat, you know?
So that conversation also tells us one thing, that whatever, that a decent chunk of what happened with Thanos is all, on the record, public record,
public knowledge.
Yeah, because Darcy wouldn't have that knowledge.
It's a little weird. Like, was there somebody videotaping all this stuff with Thanos, like just like off to the side, like the video camera Avenger?
I mean, I assume that like Iron Man tech, you know, captured the whole thing.
That's kind of a good point.
Sure, but I mean, I don't know. Was not, Iron not Man, literally like, looking at him the whole time? Unless he has like floating drones recording
satellites Tony Stark must have.
I know, it just seems a little convenient. Like, you just happen to see Wanda like getting ready to kill Thanos before Captain Marvel's barrage or whatever.
I too want to know. I really don't care how they explain it away. It could just be a one-off line like some of this stuff is, but I want an explanation as to what's going on or how the rest of the world found out exact details.
It's like in Spaceballs. They just watched the movie in the movie.
Well, that's kind of what it seems like at this point, which is what's bothering me a little bit. Like, I get it. You're probably right. They could just say Stark's drones caught everything or something. And because
you've got three people in Iron Man suits and you've got Spider-Man using an Iron Man suit at a minimum.
Okay.
Oh, a lot of people have Stark tech.
It's like, are these like the chest cameras that police officers are wearing where it's just for the safety of the person?
It's like
they record everything.
It's like the earpieces that Captain had in the first Avengers movie.
They all had cameras?
You know?
They didn't have any effing earpieces.
That's the joke, yes. Because he kept putting his hand up to his ear and there was nothing there. That was the joke.
Good joke.
They were like, don't worry, Chris. We'll put it in post.
Yeah, we got you.
They're like, nothing. See you guys. Okay, so let's talk about the commercial this time.
Let's talk about it.
The Lagos paper towels for when you make a mess you didn't intend.
So dark. It's just so dark.
Literally like blood dripping on stuff. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I mean, so it is really interesting because clearly that's, at least to me, it seems like the commercials are her subconscious trying to break through, right? And so like this one like is just sad. It's just really sad because
I had to look up Lagos, if I'm being honest, because I couldn't remember what that was about. Like, I remember that scene happening, but I don't remember it taking place specifically in Lagos. So anyway, I had to look that up. So if you had to look that up too, listener, don't feel like an idiot. I've seen all the movies. I had forgotten that what Lagos was a reference to. So
they did say it earlier in the episode.
Did they?
Yeah, when they're talking about her being a terrorist.
Oh yeah, okay, you're right.
Yeah. So they did kind of like prime everybody for that, which I thought was a nice little thing because it had been a while, right? And so that little primer was nice.
Yeah.
So Twitter pointed out that so far the four commercials also could easily represent the Infinity Stones. is you have the Mind Stone, the little dot on the toaster. You have the watch, which, you know, obviously represents time. The Hydra soap.
I thought that one was mind, because it was a mind control soap.
Yeah.
Anyway, this whole thing, I just want to remind everybody, when they thought that the name of whatever the Infinity Stone was spelled out Thanos, like, you had the Tesseract, yeah, you had the Aether, you had, like, come on, guys. Like,
there's like the paper towel stone. I don't remember that one.
This show is pretty out there, so I definitely understand the need to, like, try and figure everything out, but sometimes you just got to admit that something's a little bit of a stretch. It is an interesting theory, but...
On the other hand, and I think this is absolutely correct, all the commercials refer to past traumas of her.
Yes. It's so, like Derek said, subconscious.
Yeah.
Trying to cope with trauma.
And that's much easier to see, right? The toaster is Stark, the missile that she thought was going to kill her and her brother.
It was the beeping, on the little light.
And the Hydra watch, well, Hydra's who experimented. So. On them. Oh, the so
yeah, it was soap, Strucker.
Strucker wash. Yeah, like, you know.
Both of them are Hydra.
Right. Both of them are, you know, the experimentations that happened to her and her brother, which, you know, could not have been fun. I can't imagine that was a positive experience for them, even if it gave them powers in the end. And Lagos, obviously, like, that was just like, she was mortified in the moment when it happens. She knows that she screwed up, and it, you know, helps solidify the Sokovia Accords. So, you know,
yeah,
it's a lot of bad stuff, and I think that is a great mechanism to try and show that subconscious mind of hers breaking through in each episode. I think that's really great. If they end up each representing a stone, I mean, that's fine, but there's going to be 9 of these, I'm assuming,
right?
So there aren't 9 stones. So that's why I don't think that's really going to hold up in the end. Besides, like,
We also don't know how long the sitcom.
Yeah, that's true.
Aspect is going to last.
That's so very true.
We're almost an hour in and we haven't even talked about the biggest part of the episode.
Well, there's two parts that we haven't talked about. Her breaking through after the drone to return it and confronting Hayward and... I mean, Jimmy and Monica.
So I want to talk about the drone itself for a second. So it's all based on the premise that if you put something into the bubble that is time period appropriate, then it wouldn't need to be changed.
And Wanda would let it sneak in. She wouldn't necessarily recognize it right when it hits the border.
I don't know how I feel about that, because I'm not sure it makes sense, especially because we've seen clips from upcoming episodes that will take place in modern day. Mm-hmm. And so you'd think by that point, anybody could just go in there and she wouldn't modify them.
Well, we don't know if anybody can't by that time.
So, well, that just seems like, from her perspective, a really bad idea, given that she will have known about the drone at that point. But the drone the drone is such a departure from the rest of the show. From a device standpoint, like, that's not a device that you would think she would have wanted inside of that bubble. So I don't know that the fact that it was built around the same time follows, like, this, like, she just knows that it's that old. It just seemed like kind of a stretch.
Yeah, it didn't bother me that much.
Okay. Personally, I would have been better with, like, well, it's just a drone that cloaks or something. That would have made more sense to me.
I think it's just really cool what happens after.
Well, it definitely defines Hayward, or whatever his name is, as a villain.
He's
loading the drone with guns to go murder this woman in front of her kids.
First of all, how dumb is he? He just got done talking about how she could stand up to Thanos, and he thinks he can take her out with a drone missile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's also just a level of stupidity.
So this is going to tie into the cameo, but so her walking out and, like, saying stop fucking with me and I'll leave you guys alone, and then having the people all turn their guns on Hayward, that was super reminiscent of X-Men when Magneto takes all the guns out of the holsters of the police and points the guns at them.
I love that scene.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's been rumors of another big cameo like big cameo, Luke Skywalker level cameo. Not to spoil anything.
Well, Luke Skywalker appearing in this show would be pretty damn big too.
Yeah, that's true. But at the end of this, at the end of the season, so you know, that kind of lends some credence that maybe this is a tie-in to that. We're going to get Ian McKellen at the end as Magneto. Mm-hmm. I thought anyway that that's a fun teaser, because then like when people watch the show later, they'll be like, oh, they kind of hinted at this earlier and we missed it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that that's what that is. But
that would just be so crazy to me, because you know, if you're they've got both two casts of X-Men right in the X-Men universe, and if you were, for me, if I was going to bring in a Magneto, I would want the younger guy who I could bring back for multiple projects. That looks
like he's the same age as the daughter.
Well, she's and not son. Really as, but she's not actually his daughter though.
Is she not? We don't know.
No, in the comics, she is no longer considered his daughter. It was a false. You are not the father, Maury.
Sure, but we don't know that they're going that route. And I know they mentioned some other parents, but I mean, we know how the Marvel Universe works. That could all be, you know, horseshit. We don't know. And no, you're right. It's a bit of a stretch. It's a bit of a stretch. But how cool would it be, right? It would be pretty neat.
I love Ian McKellen.
Logistic problems aside.
Yeah.
It would be cool. But then, yeah, there was a cameo this episode, which yeah, I don't so think,
let's talk about it.
I don't think was the big cameo, but well, it was wait, no. definitely a big cameo.
Ray, was that all you wanted to talk about with the drone scene?
Well, I liked that she's a different Wanda. She is not a happy person. She is not a sitcom person in this scene. She busts through, she throws the drone at them, and she has her Sokovian accent back. And
at least a little bit.
Maybe yeah.
It's the first movie, but it's definitely there.
Yeah. And she's wearing her costume. So like this kind of leads me to lean more towards the split personality disorder or the dormant side, like even she's being controlled.
She was scary in that scene straight mm-hmm. up, so yeah.
And the way they did the special effects on the barrier makes me think that more of her control is going to be used to that, so maybe the barrier won't be as pregnable as it has been.
Well, and they show the barrier kind of turning red. Mm-hmm. And as the episode goes on, you start to see it. I don't know if you guys, Derek, is red one of the colors you can't see? I can't keep track.
It's not that I can't see it. It just, it depends like on the context. Color. Sometimes reds and greens and browns look the same to me.
Okay. So in this episode, if you look closely, there's a lot of like red halos on things. Like they put a filter in post over things to kind of like make subtle red halos. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to get more and more as the series goes on to show like her like mind breaking, essentially, like as she starts to lose control a little bit more, it's going to get more and more red. You can see it on a lot of the things in the episode. So
it was a black and white feed from the drone, and her eyes are still glowing red. Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm.
there's that.
I noticed the eyes. I did not notice the halos. That's interesting.
Yes, they're pretty subtle, but I think you're going to start to pick up on them more throughout as the series goes and she starts losing more and more control. You can kind of see, especially when the surprise cameo at the end happens, there's a mirror behind Wanda and you can kind of see the red around the hand of the person in the cameo. But there's some other scenes where you can see it as well. So it's definitely a subtle effect, but it's going to get stronger, I think.
Red is incredibly important in this show, and it has been a huge part. I think it's going to continue to be a huge part. I don't think that's going away anytime soon. So her confrontation with Vision is pretty scary, to be completely honest. It just him basically pleading with her that,
and her rolling the credits to try and stop it,
yeah, that he can't remember his life, and it, like, he sounds so sad and so desperate and so angry all at the same time, and she seems both desperate and confused too, because like it really did come off like she has no idea how it got this far either.
Yeah, I don't know how much I believe that she like really doesn't know versus it just kind of steamrolled, right? It was like, you know, the snowball going down the hill kind of thing.
I believe really... that she really doesn't know everything. I think that she knows and like kind of pushed it to her subconscious, a lot of it. So mm-hmm. she's not really conscious of herself doing it, but that she definitely knows that she's controlling a good portion of this. But like the cameo, I believe that that was not something that she knew was coming.
I agree. I have
my own theory on that.
I think she knows she created this reality. I think she knows she's controlling the people. You know, but I don't think she knows how the kids are aging so quickly or about the cameo. You know, I don't think she understands 100%, but I think she understands far more than she's willing to admit to Vision. Especially with the scene at the beginning of the episode with Agnes.
Yeah, probably. I think you're probably right on that. She isn't ready to, because she knows that once she confirms it with Vision, that the thing is going to be over.
Well, I mean, maybe. Like, at the end of the day, Vision can't really stand up to her. You know,
walk out.
I mean, can he?
They divorce in the comics.
Right, but I mean, in this reality, the way she's able to control everybody in town, couldn't she just wipe his memory and start again?
Yeah.
Maybe, or maybe that, yeah, we don't know how all that works. Was right. it her no, that actually don't. Brought him? I mean, it could have been Mephisto doing that, you know? We don't know exactly. We know that she went and got the body, but beyond that, we don't know the specifics of how he came back to life. So, and we know that she was saying that she can't bring people back to life, that that's something that she, you know, never to do that. And that was a little bit of an awkward scene, because in your mind, you think, well, she did this division, but maybe she didn't do that division.
Right.
So, you know.
Maybe. I also think it might be because Vision's not just a normal human.
That's also probably part of it, yeah.
You know, so like she wishes she could bring her brother back, right? But because he's fully human, she can't, or it's too late. You know, I don't, because we don't really understand how her powers work. Yeah, maybe there's a timetable on it when too much time has passed. Maybe it's no longer possible.
But maybe
let's talk the cameo. Let's just do it.
Okay, so Evan Peters as Quicksilver shows up at the door. He is Bronx Guido Quicksilver, and I love it.
Cool Uncle Quicksilver, like yes. like Uncle Jesse from Full House.
Yeah, that's exactly what that felt like.
The weird, wacky sitcom edition character that comes by for a while and then leaves. He's the recurring character.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely an interesting cameo.
Not one I was really expecting. It was leaked a week ago. I did stay away from it, so I was not expecting it.
Well, there were rumors. It was leaked a little while ago that Evan Peters was on set.
Right.
But I predicted that he was going to play Speed, because I thought that would have been a cooler way to handle it. And I still stand by that, that would have been really cool. Yeah. But this was cool too. Don't get me wrong. Does raise a lot of questions, right?
Wanda looks confused. She doesn't necessarily recognize him. Darcy flat out says that she recast Pietro. He calls Vision a popsicle. Vision is just as confused. He has no idea who this person is, because he only met Quicksilver for like 5 minutes before he died. It was in battle, and this guy looks nothing like him.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm sure we all have our theories. So,
okay,
we go one at a time and say theories. Derek, what's your theory on Quicksilver?
If you steal mine, I will divorce you.
Then you go first.
Were you going to steal mine?
No, just you go first. I don't remember what yours is, so I don't want to risk that. So you go ahead.
I actually think that the boys brought him. I think the boys plucked him out of the multiverse and brought him to the doorstep, because she told him that she had a brother She didn't say that he was dead. She said that he was far away and she misses him. And I think with their weird, undefined powers at the time, that they just kind of willed him into existence. So we'll see. I'm probably wrong. I haven't seen anybody else have this theory yet.
It's worth noting that there are some people that think that he was just a citizen in this city and that he got kind of thrown into this role. But
that's
the
cool.
The alarms in S.W.O.R.D.'s headquarters were going off as if the thing had been breached when this happened. So that seems unlikely to me. But I hadn't heard that theory, Rachel. So I think that's interesting.
I came up with that on my own.
Did you? You steal it from the internet? Wow.
Nope.
Mine's definitely a copy paste of one on the internet.
So I like the idea that he's another person in town just for the sake of the show itself. And the fact that, like, you know, he could be Jimmy Woo's missing person and that sort of thing. But I think that would just be really confusing given that the X-Men universe does exist. Right. And I think that would just be a weird note to just be a coincidence that it's the same actor.
Right.
You know,
and in the audio descriptions or the subtitles, it says Quicksilver from the X-Men universe or from the Fox universe or Fox X-Men universe, something like that. So they're definitely acknowledge. Yeah. So they definitely acknowledge that this is Quicksilver from the Fox movies.
Okay. So that's very interesting. So I also assumed that he was from a different reality, but my thought was that it had more to do with the snap. One of the snaps. I don't know which one. Right.
There have been three.
Well, no, it was four.
Was there four?
Because there's the snap at the end of Infinity War.
You're
the
right.
The snap to destroy the stones.
That's the one Hulk's, I was forgetting.
Hulk's snap and to bring everybody back. And then Iron Man's snap to save everybody.
Yeah.
So one of those snaps, I'm not going to say which one because I don't have any idea, might have folded in a couple of realities or at least torn open some of the spacing between them, kind of like in Into the Spider-Verse. I think that's kind of a route that they could go in a more in the live action sense. Like we've talked about Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and all this multiverse stuff. I think they're kind of doing like a slight parallel to Into the Spider-Verse. So my assumption is he is straight up from the X-Men universe and he was pulled in. I think he was pulled in by Wanda just subconsciously. I think because of the powers that she's shown, her abilities in this town, what she's shown that she's been able to do, I think that completely unconscious to herself, she is doing a lot of things and this was one of them. Now, whether she's completely controlled his mind or whether he's coming somewhat of his own free will to meet her, that I'm not really sure on, but I think it was still her doing.
Okay. So mine is kind of along the same veins as your guys, but we all have slightly different versions. I know everybody's sick of me saying Mephisto, but I think that it's either Mephisto brought him in and couldn't bring back the dead Quicksilver because Wanda knows he's dead and that would like break her immediately. So that's the actual Fox. He plucked it from the multiverse and brought him in, and that's why the alarms and S.W.O.R.D. were going off, because somebody had come in that wasn't there before. Or that Mephisto is wearing that Evan Peters look as a skin.
Aww.
Not like actually wearing his
no
skin,
no
but like Edgar suit.
Yeah, not like an Edgar suit, but like that he took on that look so that, because he knew that Wanda would reject the dead brother and that this is a way to still have it be Quicksilver, but not be from this universe. And it wouldn't quite break the illusion.
That's
for her.
Sad.
But I don't know.
I don't have a problem with Mephisto being the one like bringing Pietro in. I think that the rest of that's a little weird because I don't know that like just a completely different version of him would make her any less susceptible to breaking the illusion. I think that would be jarring too.
Yeah, they're both jarring, but seeing your dead brother brought back is probably less jarring than seeing someone else.
I don't know, but she brought back her husband.
we don't know that she brought back her husband. Based on the assumption.
But either way, she knows that he was dead. She's even had a vision of it, right?
And now he's alive.
Now he's alive. So why would her brother having that happen be any worse?
You know what? We don't know enough about the show to say, honestly, at this point. We're going to be arguing over things that we don't have any idea about at this point. It's just my theory, you know, that one of those two things is happening. They could probably, likely that they're both wrong. Likely that we're all wrong and there's something else going on. I mean, it's tough at this point, but the nerd side of me wants it to be the actual Fox X-Men Quicksilver because that's the coolest, like, from our perspective, because that opens up a lot of multiverse options for the future of the franchises. But I have a feeling that that's not it, because that would be too easy, too simple of a way to bring the X-Men into the universe.
When does Dark Phoenix take place? The movie? What decade does that movie take place in?
The 2000s?
Yeah. Or the 90s. I can't remember. It's one of
the— I'm trying to figure out when. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, the 90s. Sorry, I was thinking X-Men 2.
Sorry, I'm trying. Well, X-Men 3, you mean?
No.
Phoenix?
Yeah, I was thinking the second one where she dies and gets the Phoenix powers.
Oh. Well, I was trying to figure out, Leo, when was this before McAvoy becomes Patrick Stewart, right? And Fassbender becomes Ian McKellen. Because, like, for Evan Peters...
It's, like, 12 years or something like that.
So Evan Peters is just still Evan Peters. There's not an older version of Quicksilver or something. He still looks like him.
Well, I mean, I think they went for the 90s version because this show is taking place in the 90s. This was the Quicksilver that has... He's been Quicksilver in the 80s, too, right? He was in the second X-Men movie. So
right, but I mean, like, if he's actually from the X-Men 20th Century Fox universe, are all of the ones that all of those characters that we've seen there? Because that gets a little confusing.
We have discussed multiple times that the ages are ridiculous.
Yes,
Well, not rehashing. It's more of a question of if we got to see more characters come over, which actors would they be? Is more of my question.
We don't know. That's the answer.
I'm really hoping that not a lot of them do.
No, I think that if anything, if this is the Fox Quicksilver, that they are just doing this as like a, well, they're also in the multiverse, not as, hey, we're going to bring all of them over to this particular, you know, planet or universe, because I liked those actors. Some of them were better than others. I don't need to see them again in this universe. I'd like to get new on all these characters and just start fresh. Quicksilver, fine, but I don't want him to go any further than that.
Well, it does box him in with characters like Wolverine, where Hugh Jackman has said that he's done. And once he did Logan, I don't know why he would bother ever doing it again. Mm-hmm. You know, other than maybe for a joke in a Deadpool movie.
Right. And that would be a cameo at best, right? I mean, that's
exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there. I was just curious. It's all time. Now, there was a cool theory that I really like that I think would be really clever. I saw this actually on TikTok of all places, but there's a theory that what they're going to do is say that Wanda accidentally created the 20th Century Fox X-Men universe. And that's why there's so many inconsistencies with it, because it was accidentally created by her abilities rather
than just Wanda's fever dream. It's not actually
exactly. And I thought that was really kind of a clever idea to include it in the multiverse while also excusing away the two casts and all the timeline problems and all that stuff. So that's some headcanon that I like.
I like that as headcanon, but I think that's like doing the Days of Future Past. Why do we need to make something to retcon something out? You know what I mean? Like, just let it be. If that's a fan theory, that's great. I do like that, but we don't need that confirmation in the movie. Keep on moving. We don't need a Days of Future Past episode of WandaVision to make the X-Men movies make sense.
Days of Future Past 2?
Yeah, exactly. Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else from this episode that we didn't touch on that you would like to?
No, join us next week and
Vision babies. They were horrifying. I never want to see young Vision ever again in my entire life.
It was really weird. He was constantly put next to animals, like he's an inanimate object, or like the stuffed animals, or like he's less than human kind of thing.
I didn't catch that.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that he was horrifying and I never want to see it again.
The toddler one was the weirdest for me. So yeah, that one was really weird.
If they released a doll of it, I would buy it just like because I have to have it. It's the most scary thing ever.
3D print it, man.
Oh my God. Like, I do, but I don't want to. If I did, I would send it to you guys. It would
go
in your bedroom.
Yeah, it would. I would like carve out the eyes and
Oh my god, what is happening?
I would put lights in them. Like, God, it wouldn't just be like carved out dead eyes.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
You guys need to let me finish a sentence once in a while.
You didn't say, like, you could have said, like, you're gonna replace his eyes with lights. Instead, you're like, I'm gonna carve out his eyes with
spoons. Jeez.
On just a personal, like, positive, like, score moment, I recognize the intro as being a reference to Family Ties, and I was really proud of myself for that, since I haven't seen Family Ties in at least 20 years.
Growing Pains, Full House, and Family Ties all in that intro, yeah.
Yeah, Family Ties was the painting. Yeah.
Right.
Growing Pains was the young photos, the aging up and everything. Mm-hmm. And then the shots in the park were specifically...
of them running up towards the camera and stuff. Yeah, that was all Full House.
It's very cute, yeah.
The throwing of the Frisbee, it's very Full House. Yep. I didn't know this, but once Mary-Kate and Ashley turned down the role of Michelle in Fuller House, they asked Elizabeth to do it.
Really? I didn't know that.
I just found that out the other day.
She clearly said no.
She did. She was not a fan of that.
Yeah, that's weird.
But she did think it was funny. She was like, thanks, but no thanks.
Right? They handled it really weirdly on the show, actually, but it was awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, next week we'll be talking WandaVision episode 6 and whatever news comes up between now and then. We, of course, are Screen Heroes. You can find us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter or heroespodcasts.com. And you can subscribe to our show on any number of podcast apps like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, you name it. And that is us. You can join us live Tuesday nights on Facebook on the Heroes Podcast Network page. Chat with us during the show. It's kind of quiet tonight. Maybe next week we can have a little more conversation going. Or you can join our Facebook group, the Screen Heroes Podcast Forum, and talk movies, memes, polls, and more with us. Ray, where can people find you?
I am at Siren Ray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Ryan, where can people find you?
At Buster Props on something.
And I'm at the Star Trek Dude. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week.